if you don't wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die, it's going to die. Welcome to Brothers of the Word, because brother, you need the Word. And before I begin today, those of you who are listening electronically or watching, those of you here in the sanctuary, God just says today, before I even begin with His Word, just for you to just take a deep breath. So I just want everybody to just take a deep breath. Just take a deep breath in through your nose. And just blow it out through your mouth. Sometimes God will set the stage and He'll just have you do something even before His Word comes forth. And I've been out of town for most of last week, and I just got back last evening. And while I was away, God spoke to me and He said, I want you to just read the book of Revelation. I want you to read it, even though I've already read it. I hadn't read it in a long time. He said, I want you to read the book of Revelation. And right now, we are in a time period where there is an increasing consciousness towards an apocalyptic future. There are five movies that are out or just recently been out. And all five of those movies deal with it with an upcoming apocalypse. There's the movie Knowing and 2012 and The Road, the Book of Eli and Legion. All of them deal with the world as we know it, coming to an end. And I saw Legion, and while I was watching Legion, Legion has to do with all of these angels that God has sent to basically destroy man. I said, that's a rough movie. But then as I began to read Revelation, it brought back to mind what was in Revelation, and God sent the angels to fundamentally destroy this stuff. And sometimes we have to understand God's word. And as we even watch some of these movies, and I'll speak, or either Pastor James will speak very soon, dealing with the upcoming 2012 phenomenon. But as we see this stuff, we have to understand this is God. When you read Revelation and when you read all of the pestilence and all of the disease and all of the earthquakes and the destruction that came forth, God sent the angels to send all of this stuff on the earth because man fundamentally wasn't doing right. So all of this stuff, even, but when you're in it, see, it look bad. When you're in it, you think it's the devil. But when you read God's word, God sent this stuff. See, a lot of this stuff we go through, it looks like the devil, but God sends some of this stuff. So as I read through Revelation, I got new revelation all over again. And when I got in last night, I was not prepared to speak today because we were supposed to have a guest speaker today. But they had left a message on my voicemail saying that they were not feeling well and they would not be able to come and deliver the message today. So I said, well, Lord, what do I talk about? And then I understood partly of why He had me read Revelations. He said, I want you to speak from Revelation chapter 3. So turn to Revelation. It's easy to find. It's the last book of the Bible. But Revelation chapter 3, it talks about three churches of the seven churches of Revelation. And those three churches are the dead church, the faithful church, and the lukewarm church. And as I read through Revelation, I said, well, Lord, You want me to talk about those three churches. That's what's in the third chapter of Revelation. And I asked God, I said, which one are you saying we are? You see, and I asked the question because every church thinks they're okay. Every Christian thinks they're okay. See, if you go to any church, I'm sure that if you went to those seven churches and out of those seven churches, Jesus had something negative to say about five of those seven churches. That's 71% of the churches Jesus had something negative to say about. But yet, if you went to any church today and if you asked the preacher of that church, do you think Jesus would have any problems with your church? The preacher goes, no, not here. No, we're doing all of the right stuff here. We're serving the Lord, not here. You see, I'm sure those five churches, if you had asked the pastor or the priest of those five churches or the rabbi of those five, all of them would have said that their church was in order, that they're doing the right thing, and they would not have thought anything was wrong in their church. So when God told me chapter 3 of Revelation, I had to ask God, well, Lord, which church are we? If you look at Matthew 7:22, Jesus says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we not cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now here were people prophesying, working miracles, and Jesus said, I don't even know you. And if you had asked any one of those people prophesying, if you had asked any one of those working miracles, how were they with Jesus? Oh, they would have said, I know Jesus. Not only do I know Jesus, but Jesus knows me. How dare you ask me that question? Don't you see me prophesying? How dare you ask me, how's my relationship with Jesus? Haven't you seen the wonders and the miracles that I have performed? How dare you? How indignified of you to question me, and you see my works. And Jesus said, not that I knew them and forgot them. Not that I knew them and they walked away. Jesus said, I never knew them. So I understood these things, and when God directed me to read chapter 3 of Revelation, and there was the dead church, the faithful church, and the lukewarm church, I had to ask God, I said, Lord, which are we? Because I knew you can't go by working miracles, you can't go by prophesying, you can't go by what you think. It's in the Bible that way, because they all fought. They were all right with God. So, Lord, which one are we? And this is what God said. He said, you've got all three types in the ark. He said, you've got the dead, you've got the faithful, and you've got the lukewarm. I want you to look at the person sitting next to you, and I want you to ask them, are you dead? Are you faithful? Or are you lukewarm? Now, those who are truly faithful have a good idea that they are truly faithful. You know that you are really faithful to the church. You know without question that you have put your all within this congregation serving God. You know when you have done all that you can do serving God. So those who are faithful, they have an idea that they fit in the faithful category, but the dead and the lukewarm, they don't know which side they're in. See, because actually, do you know when you die, you stay warm for a while. So some of those who are dead and lukewarm, you're not really sure whether you just dead and still warm. Are you dead? Are you faithful? Or are you lukewarm? He said, you got all three of them within this church. The dead, the faithful, and the lukewarm. And this is Jesus in Revelation talking to the churches. And as he gives a charge to each church, he ends each one of the seven churches with this statement. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, I'm going to be reading this out of the NIV version. Some of the people only like King James version, you know, and they say, well, if you don't read out of the King James, that's not the real Bible. People, let me tell you something. I have never seen a sinner go that way yet because of a version. I have never seen anybody butt naked in sin talk about, well, I'm this way because I read the New Living Translation and I was reading the New Living Translation. I've never once seen anybody go astray due to a version. Because the versions all fundamentally say the same thing. It's just some of the versions are a little bit easier for you to understand. So I'm going to be, and actually in terms of its accuracy to the original Greek and Hebrew, the NIV And the NET versions, those are actually more accurate. So I'm going to be reading today from the NIV. And these words are in red. This is Jesus speaking. And he says to those who are dead in Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Jesus said you got a reputation. The city knows you as being alive, but you are dead. See, sometimes in the church, we have a reputation. Oh, they're a good church goer. They go to church every Sunday. Or they go to church every other Sunday. See, some of you don't even have a reputation of being alive. They know you just dot the door to church every now and then. You don't even have a reputation of being alive. Because the first thing you got to do is you just even be here. You don't even have the reputation of, they can look at you and tell something wrong. So he says you have the reputation of being alive. But you are dead. Now, of course, Jesus was not talking about a physical death. He was talking about spiritual death. That they look lively. They look like they were in God. They look like they were worshiping Jesus. But in truth, they were spiritually dead. And this is what he tells them. Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. He says, wake up and strengthen what remains that is about to die. If you're in church, there's still something in you, even if you're dead. Because there's something in you that has you here, even if you're dead. Even if you're not doing what you know God has ordained you to do. Even if you're not halfway faithful to the church. There's something in you. There is a seed. There is an ember that is glowing. There's something in you that's still alive. So Jesus says, wake up. Yeah. First thing you got to do is wake up. Sometimes we're in a slumber. We're in a sleep. And we're like those people who are working the miracles and doing the prophesying. And Jesus said he never knew. Sometimes you got to first wake up. That's why you have to first answer that question. Am I dead, faithful, or lukewarm? So first thing you do, he said to the dead folk, wake up. Turn to the person next to you and tell them, wake up. Now see, if they're already faithful, they're alive. But if they're dead, hopefully there's something in their spirit that will jar them, that will shake them, a tremor that will cause them to start moving and to say, look, I need to do something different than what I am doing. I need to wake up. He said, wake up. And stir that which is within you, that which is still alive. Because if you don't stir it up, people, God is saying, look, there are some things in your world. Yes, it's dead, but there's a spark of life. But if you don't nurture that spark, if you don't start blowing on it, and maybe that's why God had me just to have you take a deep breath. You know how it is when a fire has just about died out. You got to blow on it to get it back going. So if you don't blow on it, if you don't take that which is inside that is still alive, it will die. So Jesus says, if you don't wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die, it's going to die. So if you're here, you're not dead yet. But you need to make some changes, lest you do die. And he says, remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Obey it and repent. You've gotten the word. There are some things that you have heard within this congregation. Some of those of you listening on the online word and airjesus.com, you've heard it. But Jesus is saying, heed it. Obey what you have received. Repent. Said, Lord, I'm going to turn around. I'm going to change. I'm going to make a difference. I'm not going to keep going the same way that I've been going. I'm not going to die. And Jesus says, but if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief. And you will not know at what time I will come to you. People, one thing about life that I have observed, God always gives you warning. There's no such thing as just a sudden, you know, I just had a sudden heart attack. No, you didn't. You had some symptoms that something wasn't right in you long before you had that stuff. You don't ever just, God always, you always have, a, you don't ever have as a general principle, nothing generally is never sudden. There are warning signs. And God will always warn his people one way or another that if you don't make some changes, disaster is heading your way. It's never just instant. It's always. I've never known a case where it's been different. There are always warning signs. So God will tell you up front, change path, change courses, make some difference, or you're headed for death, or this thing is headed for death, or your relationship is headed for death. Make some changes. And if you don't heed it, it will come. Turn to the person next to you again and ask them, are you dead? The next church was the faithful church. Now remember, this is in red. Revelation 3, verses 7 through 11. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength. Jesus is telling the people, look, I know sometimes you don't have a whole lot. See, the church that was dead, they had plenty of money. But the church in Philadelphia, he says, I know you have little strength. I know you don't have a whole lot of resources. I know you may not have a whole lot of education. I know you may not have a whole lot of status in society. I know you have little strength, but I know your deeds. And you're taking that little that you have. You're taking what God has given you, and you're doing with what God has given you what he wants you to do. I know your deeds. Yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars. I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the whole world to test those who live on the earth. All this stuff that's coming in the future. To the faithful church, he said, I'm going to keep you in that hour so you won't have to go through that stuff. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. Turn to the person next to you again and ask them, are you faithful? And if you're faithful, Jesus has given you this promise. I'm going to keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole earth to the faithful. And when you look at the church of Philadelphia, there are four Greek words for love. Eros, the erotic or the sensual type of love. Philia, which is the brotherly love. Agape is God's love. And sorge, it's the affectionate or the parental type of love. We know philia as the brotherly love, but most of us don't know the story of how that came about. The city of Philadelphia was founded almost 200 years before Christ by a man named Emmanuel II. When he died, he was succeeded by his younger brother, Attalus II. Now, Emmanuel named buildings after his older brother. He meant it coins bearing his brother's image, and he talked about his brother constantly. So the people of the town began to call the city Philadelphia, or City of Brotherly Love. They named the city because they saw Emmanuel talk about his brother and love his brother so much that they began to call the city of brotherly love. Now, it may be no accident that even here at the Ark of Salvation, you see brothers and you've never seen a squabble. You've never seen a disagreement. You've never seen any kind of fight or fussing or any kind of bad vibes going on between the brothers. Sometimes people, when people can see how you get along with your own blood, they named the city when they just saw how blood brothers got along. And sometimes it is a matter of not even how we get along with the world. It's a matter of how we just get along with the folk close to your own blood. And you'll be surprised how many cases we deal with where blood is fussing and fighting, where blood is almost drawing blood. And that thing is more common than not. Our corporate attorney, has a big office way out in the fancy swank section of town. We're probably some of the poorest clients that he handles. But I never will forget He asked my mother, could he come and bring his family to have dinner with the Bronners one Christmas? And my mother asked, why you got all these rich clients? He says, because you all are the only family out of all of the clients who I handle. You are the only client who gets a loan. And they got all this money. And he said, most of them, I can't even bring them in the conference room. We have to do a conference call because if they all come in one room, they fussing. He said, you all are the only family that I handle who gets along. So Philadelphia, or the Church of Brotherly Love, that thing was no minor thing. It is a job. Jesus said, how can you love? How can you love me who you how can you love God who you haven't seen? And you can't love your brother who you have seen. That thing is not as common as we may think. Folk just can't get along. You remember what happened in the Rodney King beating? Now, he was no saint by any stretch of the imagination, but he did make a very profound statement. And the only statement people can remember from him is, can't we just all get along? No, we can't. No, we can't get along. We fussing, fighting, battling, arguing, and sometimes just not speaking. Sometimes the brothers and sisters and siblings haven't spoken to each other in decades. Children won't speak to parents. No, we can't get along. So there is a reason, even when the money is there, we still can't get along. So the city of brotherly love, just if you can get in the midst of brotherly love, it says a tremendous amount to the lukewarm. And remember, this is in red. Turn to the person next to you and ask him, are you just warm? And see, actually, if you notice back on the screen here, there are faucet handles, cold on one side and hot on the other. The dead church was just cold. The faithful church was hot. But the lukewarm was just right in the middle. You neither cold nor hot. And Jesus said, look, and that, you know, you come to church, you sit, you sing, you go home and... You're neither cold nor hot. You're just kind of warm. And you know how it is with food, and it's just warm. You know, it's neither cold nor hot. It's just warm. And Jesus said, I'd rather for you to just be on one end or the other. I'm just going to spew you out of my mouth because you're not even on fire any kind of way. And that's where a large percentage of the church is. We're neither cold nor hot. We're just warm. We're just following through the rote, but we have no real passion behind things. We just there. When we get up from our seats, it's warm. And it's the same way our hearts are. We lack, in a nutshell, we just lack passion. You're just warm. You know, you don't hate anything, but you're just warm. And Jesus just said, look, he said, I wish you were either one or the other. You neither cold nor... He said, I just wish you were just cold or hot. But this warm stuff. Turn to the person next to you again and ask, are you warm? And tell him, you need to be hot. And see, we need... You all don't even want a person... Now, we're made in the image of God. You don't want just a partner that's just warm towards you. I've never heard anybody talking about they want some warm loving. No, they want some hot. You understand me? Nobody want nothing hot, warm. And they sure don't want it cold. But nobody wants anything warm. See, you want some hot. If you want some hot, and we're made in the image of God, God said, look, I don't even want all these warm folk. Give me somebody that's hot, that's on fire for me. Somebody that's got some passion. Don't give me all these warm folk. And people, I believe God is sending a message to the churches today. He wants us to just get back on fire. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Are you dead? My daddy always used to say, anything that's dead just need to be buried. And what will happen if you are dead in the church? Sooner or later, you will start stinking. There's something that will start coming off of you. Sooner or later, you'll start stinking. If you're warm, you're just there. But there's no impact of God in your world or in the influence that you will have on others. You're just there. God wants us hot. He wants us faithful. And God wants everyone in this church and congregation to be faithful, to be hot, to be on fire for the Lord. Hear in this hour what the Spirit is saying to the churches and you. We thank you for joining us today at Brothers of the Word, because, brother, you need the Word. Amen, amen.
Amen. We thank Pastor for that hot message today, and it should really cause you to just turn inward and analyze yourself to say, which one of those three am I in the ark of salvation? And if you realize that you're in that cold or warm category, it's time for a change. Just turn to your neighbors. It's time for a change. Amen. And one of the things, if you're in one of those categories and you want to get hot, you realize you may be warm or cold, I would recommend you even get here for the intercessory prayer time before the service. And Brother Earl and our other prayer warriors, they're on fire for the Lord, and they pray with the fire of God. So get here. If you get around fire, you know it'll catch off on you, and you'll start burning. And that's what people do when they're outdoors in the cold. They build a fire, and they get close in. They put their hands close to it, and the warmth begins to warm them. And even on the day of Pentecost, you know, as the disciples were gathered, how did the Holy Spirit come in the form? What was it? A tongue of fire. Amen. And I tell you, God heated them up with His Spirit. So if you're cold or in that warm category, just ask yourself how close you are to His Spirit. Because His Spirit came in the form of fire. So we thank God for this message. And even in relationships, it helps me to understand why He said He didn't want you warm. He'd rather you be hot or cold. Because at first thought, you'd say, look like you would at least rather you be warm than cold. But when you think about it, if you're dating somebody, and many of us before we got married, we were in relationships with other people. And when you think about it, the warm relationships, sometimes they keep you stuck in those relationships. Because they got a little bit of good in them and you don't want to let them go. But at least when they just mistreat you in cold, you can get rid of them in good conscience to say, I know I need to let this go and go on and move on with my life and find something better. But it's those warm ones that keep us stuck. And we don't want to let them go because we say, I may not find something hot. This may be as good as I can get. I'm going to compromise and hang on to this. Even though they don't do right sometimes, I'm going to just keep this warm body next to me. And they keep us stuck in a place where we can't move forward. So I can understand it. And He's in relationship with us. And that warmness, it keeps us stuck without able to go forward. So it helps you relate even to what Pastor talked about. So we thank Him for that message today. We're with heads bowed right now. There's anybody in this place, and as you search your own heart, you know it without any prophet speaking to you, without even hearing any voices, you know whether you're in the cold or warm category. If you have not been close to the fire where you can feel Him burning in you, then at this time we want to make an opportunity for you to come and make a new commitment unto Him to get hot. The Lord has already spoken to Pastor and said there were three kinds. So somebody's got to be cold or warm if God has already said it. So at this time, if you want to draw near unto the fire of the Lord, unto His Spirit, if you want to burn afresh, then I invite you to come. Make a new commitment.
Prince of Peace, you are my God, Lord of Majesty,
as the Lord draws you, you know, as more bodies come, he even grows. The more saints get together, I tell you, even in the physical, the warmth becomes greater. That's why he said, when two or three or more gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. So his spirit grows. I tell you, it's warm up in there, people. Don't miss out on this fire I can fill up here. Don't miss out on these hot bodies.
Line of Judah, awesome.
The fire is here. People at your work, people in your neighborhood, people in your family who may not know God. As you burn, that fire will warm their hearts and hearts that may be crushed over with ice. As you come with the fire of the Holy Ghost, it'll begin to thaw out even things you couldn't do in the natural. You may be wondering why your boss is so cold. He may not have been around enough fire in you to thaw out his cold heart. And as you draw nigh unto the Lord, I tell you, he'll burn within you. He'll burn within you. Allow you to set others on fire.
Lord of majesty, let your presence now fill this place. Let your
say a prayer over you, and after that I want Brother Ivan to just lead us in anointing fall on me, and I just want you to worship him and seek his presence after this prayer and make your own commitments unto him. For you only, you know what category you're in, and you know what you need to say, you know what you've been slacking, you know what God has called you to do. Nobody else has to tell you. So this is a time of personal communion, personal supping with him, between you and your Creator. So just lift your hands up to the Lord as we pray. Those of you out there, just stretch your hands toward these. Lord, I thank you, Father, for calling your children, Father, close unto your fire, O Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would look upon the heart right now, Lord, of every man, of every woman, of every child, oh Lord, standing before you right now, oh Lord. I pray, oh Lord, that you would hear their hearts cry right now, oh Lord, as they desire, oh Lord, to draw closer unto you, oh Lord, to sup with you, oh Father. Lord, I pray, oh Father, that you'd send thy Holy Spirit upon them right now, oh Lord, that even as you did on the day of Pentecost, oh Lord, and appeared as tongues of fire, oh Father, I pray, oh Lord, that even in the spirit right now, oh Lord, you'll begin to let fire light upon your people, oh Father. That you'll thaw out, oh Lord, that which has been cold, oh Father. that which has been warm, oh Father. I pray, oh Lord, that you'll speed up, oh Lord, the molecular structure within them, oh Lord. That you'll speed up the atoms, oh Lord, within them, oh Lord, to put them in an excited state, oh Father, to draw heat, oh Father. Lord, I pray, oh Lord, for a fresh anointing to fall upon your people right now, oh Lord. I pray, oh Lord, that they to know you in a new way, oh Lord, to hear your voice clearer than ever, Lord. That the mission, the destiny and purpose that you've called them to, oh Lord, would stir up within them, oh Father. I pray, oh Lord, that you'll even disturb their sleep, oh Lord. That as they try to go back to old ways of cold and warm, oh Lord, that their sleep would be uneasy until they get on the path, oh Lord. That you'll stir them to get up in the midnight hour, oh Lord, to seek you, oh Father, to seek thy face, oh Lord. And that you'll meet them there, oh Father, that as they drink, oh Lord, from thy water, oh Lord, that they'll be able to pour out unto others, oh Lord, that out of their belly shall flow rivers of living waters, oh Father. I pray, Father, that you'll stir up, oh Father, the gifts that you place within each person, oh Father, that you'll stir it up, oh Father, that they'll be on fire for you, oh Lord, on fire for you, oh Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the commitments in the hearts right now, oh Lord. But it doesn't even have to be out loud, oh Lord. I pray, oh Father, for you to just listen unto the hearts right now, oh Lord, unto the commitments of your people, oh Lord. As you want a faithful church, oh Lord. You want an on-fire church, oh Lord. So that when pastor asks that question again, oh Lord, that he'll say the ark of salvation is on fire for me. They're faithful for me. That they're no cold, they're no lukewarm. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this hour. And now, as Minister Ivan Lee says, just worship the way you are. Make your own commitment unto
him. My tears fall on me.
Take your seats and just spend some time with him this evening and bask in his presence. Allow him to do a new thing in you this day. Amen. That he's already begun. Amen.
This ends message number 5463 by Nathaniel Brauner Jr. To hear other messages or to send this message number 5463 to a friend, simply go to airjesus.com and theonlineword.com. This has been message number 5463, the dead, faithful, and the lukewarm. Listen to airjesus.com and theonlineword.com often and keep your spirit charged up.